Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's third quarter 2011 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Ciuffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a question-and-answer session. At that time, instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Ciuffello. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, and welcome everyone to this conference call for the third quarter of 2011. We will have the same agenda as usual. In page three, we will go first about the general numbers of the company, and then we will focus on each of the business segments. And we'll talk a little bit about the outlook and then about the third quarter and subsequent events. Starting in page number four, we have a summary of the highlights of the quarter. We can see that we have a reduction of 7% in our sales, which stood at $1.1 billion compared to almost $1.2 billion of the second quarter of 2011. Our EBITDA was $263.2 million, which is almost 30% lower than the second quarter of 2011. Our net income for the quarter was $81.3 million, which is a 56% lower than the second quarter of 2011, where we got $183.1 million. Our net financial debt stood more or less stable at $2.675 billion, and our CapEx went up 30% to $275 million for the quarter. We will explain these numbers in detail in the coming slides. In page number five, we see a more detail in the income statement where we can appreciate the reduction in 7% in sales, which is basically explained by a decrease in sales of 14% in the pulp division, which I will explain also in detail. Our cost of sales was up 2.7%, even when you take into account the reduction in volume, so we have an increase in unit cost. Our EBITDA reached $263.2 million, and is, as I said before, 30% lower than last quarter, and can be explained basically by a reduction in pulp EBITDA, which is caused by lower pulp sales volume and price, and a little bit of higher cost, unitary cost of production. We have also a small reduction in net financial cost from almost $50 million in the second quarter to $38 million. And then we have a big impact in exchange rate differences of $30 million, which is basically explained by a depreciation of the Chilean peso and the Brazilian real, which we saw at the end of of September, caused basically by the volatility in the European markets. In page number six, we have a detail of the cash flow statements, and we can appreciate that the net cash provided by operating activities went up 15%, basically because of an increase in 11% in collection of account receivables. And in the capital expenditures, we see the 30% increase from $212 million to $276 million, which is explained by our projects in MDF in Brazil, in MDP, Middle Industry Park Tribal in Teno in Chile, and also the equity contributions that we are making to our project in Uruguay. In terms of the cash used in financial activities, we have a big increase here of 85%, going from 170 to $13 million, explained by the payment of a bond that was due on September 11 this year of $387 million. Last quarter, we paid dividends of $194 million. We see also a source of funds of proceeds from short-term borrowings because we financed part of the payment of the bond with pre-export financing. So the total cash flow outflow for the period was $322 million, and that's why we went from having a cash position of $700 million to $377 million at the end of the quarter. In page number 7, we have the review of our debt position. As I told you before, our net financial debt is stable at $2.67 billion. Our long-term financial debt went down, but we have and also our short-term financial debt went up. But our cash and cash equivalent went down from 700 to 377. So we are stable in our financial position in terms of net financial debt. We don't have bond maturities until 2013, where we have $370 million due. And as you can see in the graph below, there's an increase of pre-export financing of $160 million that we have outstanding at the end of the quarter. Those pre-export financing will be paid off basically when we receive the proceeds from the insurance company that we're going to talk a little bit later during this presentation. Number 8, we have a review of the key financial ratios, and we can see the impact of a scenario of lower prices in the pulp division and also lower volumes. So gross margin went down from 38% to 31.3%. Our EBITDA margin went down from 30% to 24%, and also all the ratios of return over assets and capital employed, of course. In terms of leverage, our net financial debt to EBITDA went up from 1.8 to 2.6. Accumulated ratio is more or less 2 times, and I think that we should stay more or less stable to the end of the year. And the ratios of total financial debt to total capitalization and net financial debt stood more or less stable compared to the last quarters. Now, if we go to a review by segment, in page number 10, we have the explanation of our pulp division, which is, as you know, around 50% of our sales and EBITDA generation. And you can see the impact in sales going from $525 million in second quarter to $505 in this quarter, which is a 12% decrease, explained by a lower volume of 5.3% and a lower price of 7.1%. The decrease in volume is explained basically by some maintenance that we had during the quarter in the Nueva Aldea pulp mill, which decreased the volume available for sale. The explanation of the price reduction, of course, is because of the lower demand in general caused by the financial problems in Europe that is affecting paper demand in Europe and also some trade restrictions in China that is affecting the paper demand and pulp demand. So we have experiencing continuous decrease in prices, which I'll be talking a little bit more in the outlook section. In terms of production, you can see the third quarter we produced 650,000 tons. That is a decrease because basically of the maintenance in the Nueva Aldea mill. Year over year, sales stood more or less stable, and this is a tricky comparison because last year we were still having the impacts of the earthquake in our operation, so we had some of our mills stuff. So it's difficult to compare with that. Page 11, we can see the evolution on the indexes of BHKP and NBSK, and we can see that prices peaked about in June, July, and then started to go down. And so as an average of the quarter, we see this reduction of 7%, but prices In September, were significantly lower than the peak. I guess it was probably more than $100 lower in the month of September compared to the prices that we got in during July. And also prices have continued to go down the following month in October and November. And we see the situation that is a little bit complex because we have a lower demand coming from Europe, and also some problems in demand in China because of overcapacity of paper, and also the great restrictions that some of our buyers are experiencing in terms of opening letters of credit and accessing to credit. The other situation that is hurting this moment is that since paper demand has gone down, some integrated producers are putting some of their pulp in the spot market, affecting also the prices. We think that the situation could continue during some part of 2012, and we should, I think, have a bottom in terms of prices probably December or January. Prices have gone down since the peak, at least $200 in each of the grades, and we still have a differential between grades that is quite substantial at this moment. We could expect that at some point some of the high-cost producers will start to make market downtime in terms to balance their supply, and so we can see some good news probably during the year in terms of less supply and so some balancing in terms of having some increase in prices. But we don't see it in the next 3 months. The only markets that are still very active are the Latin American markets, and we see that not only in pulp but also in panels and some timber. If we go to panels in page 12, sales were basically stable from one quarter to the other. We have the effect of price increase and a reduction in volume that balance each other. And, of course, when you compare one year to the other, we have a 21% increase, which is basically the effects of new mills and also the effects of the earthquake in some production. We are seeing higher shipments to Europe and Asia of plywood. We see the United States market also with some growth in terms of volume, but prices are remaining stable for this moment. MDF sales volume has increased 33%, basically by high demand from the United States and Mexico, and strong increase in shipments from Japan. In terms of particle board, we have a low increase in volume of 2%, but with a strong increase from sales to Peru and the Argentinian markets. We are experiencing high competition, especially in Mexico. But we are doing basically quite well in the Latin American markets where most of the panel sales go. In terms of production, we are quite stable. We reached 800,000 cubic meters in the third quarter of 2011. Page 13, the outlook for the panel market, we are seeing what is very common in pulp also, that the European market is very slow. Most of our clients don't want to increase their stocks. They don't know what's going to happen in that market. USA is stable, but we are seeing some growth in demand. So we are a little bit optimistic in terms of the future in the United States, especially because of the announcement of Georgia Pacific and the closure of some of the mills in plywood. In Peru, Colombia, Mexico, strong competition in plywood. We could see some price pressure in the next month in those markets. In MDF, Argentina, very strong, the local markets, and also Brazil and Chile. We are operating quite well in terms of inventory in those markets. And in terms of particle board, Argentina is still very strong also with record volume and prices. Page 14, sawn timber division. Here also we got a 3.1% increase in sales, which is basically a 5.4% in volume, with a reduction of 2.2% in 5.4% increase in price with a 2% decrease in volume. Year over year, again, we're seeing a 10% increase in volume and price. We have we are seeing good demand coming from most of the markets. Since we did a lot of restructuring in this division, we are getting quite good margins and good results in the sawn timber division. And regarding the main market of the, especially the remanufactured wood products, which is the United States, we're still seeing low levels of construction. Starting housing start reached 660,000 units per year in September, but we are seeing some positive momentum in the market, and we could see that we can have some increasing in volumes and prices in the coming years, because we think that is the conditions probably are now set that we can have some increase in those markets. In terms of sawn timber production, we produce 642,000 cubic meters, which is an increase compared to the second quarter of 2011. Page 15, now looking a little bit into the future, we are seeing some decrease in demand and prices in Asia, affected by the, of course, probably the same trade restrictions in China. The U.S. market is stable. As I told you in the last slide, we anticipate a positive outlook in terms of volumes and prices. Middle East is stable volumes. And Latin America, again, very good demand, except for Mexico, that we're seeing margin erosion as a consequence of the depreciation in the Mexican peso, which follows all the currencies against the U.S. dollar. In term, for Chile, strong demand again, mainly due to seasonality factors. We're starting the month of summer here, and where construction tends to be more intensive. Housing starts, we can see in the graph that we are seeing some small increase in the last numbers, and we hope that we can get to more sustainable levels of construction to the U.S. market. Now, talking a little bit about the third quarter subsequent events, page 17. First of all, going to our biggest project we have together with Stora Enso in Uruguay. We got during the quarter, at the end of September, we signed the financing. It was closed on September 29th. It's a $1.35 billion financing. It's $900 million with an ECA, basically Cisbera. And the rest is with an AB loan with the Inter-American Development Bank and four commercial banks. It is guaranteed by Arauco and Stora, 50% each. So that's already done. We already made a disbursement, the first disbursement of the loan, and that is working very good, and we're very happy to have the financing completed, especially because of the conditions in the financial markets at this moment. The pulp mill and the port construction are on schedule, and you can see some photographs over there of the white liquor plant and the recovery boiler, which has been constructed in Finland. We are ahead with port terminal construction, and we expect to be ready to receive equipment during next year. The estimated start of the mill, so we're still thinking about March 2013. Page 18. The other news that we have is the deal that we made with Clarín. We acquired together with them 100% of the shares of Forestal Valle do Corisco. It was a $473.5 million investment, assumed 49% by Arauco and 51% by Clarín. And we acquired 107,000 hectares of land, 63,000 of them planted with thyme. This acquisition is very important for us because we assure the 100% sufficiency for the new line of Yagüereya, the MDF line, and also we have some excess plantations that we could use in the future to make a third line of MDF in the same site. With that acquisition, now we have a total of 128,000 hectares planted in Brazil. In page 19, we have the insurance claim that we closed with the insurance companies. Finally, we will receive a total indemnification of $532 million. We have already received some advance payments of that. We received $278 million during the 2010. Part of it was in the third quarter. We received $100 million. And then in the fourth quarter of 2010, we received $178 million also. So we will receive, we expect to have it during December, basically in the beginning of December, $254 million. Of that amount of cash that we're going to receive, about $160 million will have an effect in the income statement before tax, because they are part of the business interaction section of the policy indemnification. So as we told you during the last year, we were below the limit of the insurance policy, which was $650 million, and we're going to receive the biggest insurance claim in Chile because of the earthquake of last year. Okay, that's all I have, and now I will turn it to you. If you have any questions, please go ahead.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimal sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. Your first question comes from the line of Josh Milberg with Deutsche Bank.
Good morning, everyone. Two questions. First, on Brazilian MDF. You mentioned that you have a good inventory situation in Brazil, and I was just hoping you could comment a little bit more on what you're seeing in the Brazilian market in terms of pricing and what you expect going forward. And also, if you could just give us your updated expectations on the exact timing of the new MDF line, the startup, that would be great. That's my first question.
Okay. Our inventory levels are okay. I mean, there's, of course, a strong competition in MDF in Brazil. There's a lot of new mills ramping up. But I think the situation is quite controlled. We have been able to sell all what we produce. And prices have been, I mean, more or less stable. We are seeing good increasing demand going on with the same increase in supply. So I think it's going to be as usual. I remember probably the last, I don't know, 8 to 7 years, we have been talking about increasing supply, but the increasing demand has been enough to absorb the increase in supply. In terms of our MDF, we expect that our MDF could be starting in the middle of next year, and we're going to be adding 500,000 cubic meters of MDF to the market.
And how much of that new production do you expect to sell into Brazil?
I mean, most of it. We expect to sell most of it in Brazil because it's where we might have the best margins. But if we need to export part of it, we have the distribution network available to do it in the foreign markets. And another thing that is an advantage that we have because we sell MDF in other parts of the world. That we hope that we can sell everything in Brazil.
Okay, that's great. And then my second question just is on your pulp business. I understand that your unitary costs were pressured in the period due to the longer than normal maintenance downtime. But was there also an inflationary component to some of the pressure on margins that we saw in the period? Or was it really just about that extended downtime?
No, basically, I think it was because of the extended downtime in Noaldea. Noaldea is our biggest mill, and that has, of course, impact in total cash costs. But we expect that we could go to low normal levels of production cost next quarters. The inflation in Chile is very low, and we didn't see any big increases in other costs like chemicals or things like that. So I think it's basically the lower production cost by the maintenance of the lower, longer than normal maintenance that we had in Valdea.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Your next question comes from one of Fernando Belchiorro with RISI.
Hi, good morning. I would like to understand if the company has plans to invest together with Klabin Brazil, and also if the company has some plans of a new pulp facility in Brazil because of this area that was acquired. Just to understand a little bit more the interest of further projects in Brazil.
No, we don't have a common project with Klabin. I mean, we just acquired the land together because that land and that plantation is basically located between our mills. And they're going to use it basically for their pulp project that they have, and we're going to use it for panel production. So we don't have a plan together with them, and we already divided the pieces of land. Of course, the ones that are closer to our mills are the ones that we're going to get, and they're going to get the ones that are closer to their project. We expect to sometimes in the future to have a project in a pulp project in Brazil, but for that we need to start buying land and planting and probably doing it with eucalyptus instead of pine, which is the one that we acquired in Paraná. But it's a more longer-term project than this one.
Your next question comes from the line of Sam Epi Bornia with Wellington Management.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just a quick question on the impact of the shutdown. Can you quantify it in terms of EBITDA, if you can?
No, it's very hard to do that. I mean, from the top of my head, to quantify the effect on the EBITDA. I mean, we could run the numbers for you and try to tell you about it, but I mean, this mill is a 1 million ton mill a year, and that was for almost 5 weeks shut down. And so it's one-twelfth of that, and we could do that. We can send you by email. If you send us an email, we can tell you more or less what is the impact on the EBITDA.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Once again, if you do wish to pose a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please hold again while we poll for questions. Your last question comes from the line of Selena Miro with Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning. I was just wondering if you could give me a little bit more color regarding the pulp demand by different regions and what you're seeing. Especially in November, you mentioned a little weakness in Europe and, you know, some issues in China, but if you have any more details regarding that and if there's any changes to what you've seen in the recent weeks.
Well, I mean, the situation is difficult, in Europe. As I told before, the market there is very soft. There have been some closures in paper producers. Some of them, the ones that are integrated, are trying to export their pulp into Asia, so that's causing more problems in China because we're seeing some spot volumes over there, and at the same time, the Chinese are also trying to reduce their paper production. Remember that from 2010, I think that they have built more than 5 million tons of paper capacity, and they were running that at full capacity, and that the paper market is softening, so they're also reducing the pulp consumption. So I think we were during November in a complicated situation because the only markets that were active and growing were the Latin American market, which is not a very high volume of consumption. So prices went down, and I think that probably from compared to October, they probably went down $40 to $50. And in December, they're going to stay more or less the same. I mean, I think that we could be selling around at $650 during December, and we're talking here long fiber, which is almost $200 less than we were selling in July. So we had a sharp reduction in prices in order to sell all the volume that we produce. In eucalyptus, the situation was also more or less the same, and prices went down also $200 then. And they're in the range of $530 per ton, which is a low price compared to the $730 that we got during July. So it's been complicated because Europe is very complicated. They are very scared of building stocks, and they're all running to sell to China, especially the Canadians, but also sell to the European market. And we are crowding in terms of in China. So I think we need to wait 1 or 2 months in order to stabilize volumes and prices, and we hope that we can see some market downtime in the high cost producers. And I think that some of that has been announced already in Canada, and I expect that also some of the small mills in China will stop producing, and that will produce a more balanced market that will probably start to grow next year. I don't know, February, March, we'll see some possible increase in prices. But at this moment, it's quite complicated because of the situation, especially in Europe.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Consuelo Baroma with MetLife.
Hi, good morning. I guess I would like to confirm, how do you invest investment in Valle d'Orisco? And maybe you paid it with cash? And also, I would like to know, and what is your plan to finance the amortization schedule that is coming in 2011 and 12? Are you planning to come to the market to issue something? And finally, I would like to know your opinion about the level of cash. It seems very low in compared to previous quarters. So what is the comfortable level of cash that you are planning to maintain? Thanks.
Yes. Well, first of all, yes, we use our cash to pay the Valle do Corisco investment, $230 million more or less. And we are trying to increase our cash position. Of course, we're going to receive from the insurance company $250 million in the coming weeks, so that will help a lot. I mean, that is more than we paid for Valle do Corisco. And our comfortable level of cash, I think, is more close to the $500 million probably. And I think that since we already paid the amortization 2011, we have some amortizations in 2013. I think we're going to try to use the environment of low interest rates that we have at this moment, and we'll probably try to get to the market and try to go for a bond issue or something like that. We're studying it at this moment, our alternatives, and we will hope to have more clear the picture in the coming weeks, so we can decide what we're going to do. But since we see a good environment of interest rates, probably we will try to pre-finance what we have in the coming years and try to increase our cash position. Also, because some opportunities could appear in the picture, since a lot of companies will be having difficulties refinancing the payments of debt and things like that in the future.
This concludes the question and answer session. At this time, I'd like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks.
Okay, thank you all for listening to this conference call. Again, if you have any questions that were not answered, please call us or send us an email. Our next conference call for the yearly numbers probably will be held in sometime during March, and then we will have a picture of the whole year and things that happened during this last part of the year. So thank you again, and don't hesitate to call us or send us an email. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time, and have a great day.